there. Welcome again to another episode of Waves, a podcast out of King of Kings Church in Omaha. Waves is all about what's happening at the intersection of the waves of this world and our faith in Jesus. My name is John Bartels. I'm the host for Waves, and we are continuing our conversation on rest with King of Kings' very own Pastor Roger Timer, and we are digging into what it means to fill and replenish our various different energy sources in our daily life. This is part two of a two-part conversation. So if you want to hear the first part of the conversation, that can be found on last week's podcast, and I highly encourage that you would check that out. So welcome again to Waves. Here's Pastor Roger Timer, and here we go. Pastor Roger, thank you so much for being back on the podcast. So last week we talked about rest, and specifically the topic of Sabbath. But today let's talk about what it means to rest in other aspects of our life, specifically our daily life and what we go through in the process of a day. So
absolutely. It's wonderful that God has designed us as people who need rest, and we have rhythms to our life. And he hardwired it into our bodies. Every 24 hours, we need rest. If we do not get rest, if we do not get sleep, we die. But then he also designed us as people that we need more than just replenishing our bodies. We need to replenish, well, our souls, our minds, even our emotions. And there's rhythms to that as well. Sabbath is a weekly rhythm. But we have seasonal rhythms in our world. We have vacation rhythms. We have celebration rhythms. We have Christmases and Thanksgivings and feast days, if you will. So when we think about rest as a whole person, we're now putting that in the backdrop of all the various activities we do that all contribute to us as a whole person having a healthy diet of rest.
Yeah, I've had people, I think a lot of us have had people who've told me, you can't do it all.
I love it when my friend Pastor Leroy says, hey, don't do it all today.
Yeah, that's right.
He nails me. Okay, you're right.
But I want to.
Yeah, right? I know. If I just work harder, I'm going to solve it. No. There's got to be a chance of rest. But let me suggest something. If we were to take the concept of rest and know that rest is something that is an activity that replenishes, then what are the activities that replenish our body? What are the activities that replenish our emotions, our heart, our desires? Mm-hmm. What are the activities that replenish our mind, our mental capacity? And what are the activities that replenish our soul, that place where we connect with God? I am intrigued by that topic.
Hmm. Yeah, what I've learned how to do is, a lot of times if I get in a crazy moment, just being able to do a reflection of, you know, work down the list of, how am I doing spiritually? How am I doing emotionally? Yeah. How am I doing physically? Because if I'm tired, chances are I'm not going to be in a good emotional state.
No, you're not.
So it's really intertwined.
Be grumpy, as a matter of fact.
Mr.
Grump.
Yeah. Yes. Hand me a Snickers. Yeah.
a little hangry there. That is so the way it works. Now, if we were to listen to Jesus' explanation, like in Mark 12, about what our lives are to be filled up and look like, it would be what? Love the Lord your God, he says. And he's quoting the Old Testament. So he's quoting with, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. In other words, that's the covenant language of you're my people. And because you're my people, this is what you're going to do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. I sense that though he's describing the whole person, that within the whole person, there are these various energy sources, if you would. You could call them as such. A performance scientist named Jim Lehrer and Tony Schwartz, who wrote The Power of Full Engagement, though it's not in any way a Christian book, it does identify those same energy sources and say that physiologically we need a type of replenishment in each one of them. And here's the point. If we exercise, is that good? Of course it is, if we get replenishment. If we don't stop, it gets to be fatigue. Mm-hmm. But if we do nothing but inactivity, it ends up in atrophy. So we're under rhythms of exertion, replenishment. And exertion, replenishment in each of the energy sources, as a matter of fact. I want to emotionally pour myself out. So that, but if I fail to refill that emotional bucket, I'm toast. And same thing intellectually. I want to write that paper or write that message. But boy, if I don't do some things that get my mind away from it and replenish, I'm going to have trouble.
Yeah, I think it was the podcast that we did with Justin Hanneman where he talked about how sports psychology is becoming is growing because athletes are finding out that it's not just about exerting themselves and building up their muscles.
Absolutely.
But how important that rest in our minds and in our hearts are for these athletes, and which, I mean, is directly reflective of who we are today as individuals, where we are exerting ourselves in our everyday, building
everyday
up our
life.
Muscles, but we have to do that with other aspects of our life as well.
Yeah, these scientists or performance coaches who wrote this book, Power of Full Engagement, I'm intrigued by how they describe the energy source of spiritual. I think they do a good job of it. Because the spiritual side connects to your sense of purpose. And for the believer in Christ who knows a relationship with God, that spiritual side of their life is filled with purpose, being all who they can be to demonstrate his love to the world. I mean, that's it. And when I attach that purpose to the other things that I do, it's powerful. And athletes, for example, when they have a high sense of purpose with what they're doing, it's powerful.
Yeah.
So now we're given the purpose and the exertion, and we want to replenish. By the way, just for a food for thought. How do you replenish spiritually your sense of purpose? That's not a rhetorical question.
It's not.
I'm just throwing it out because I'm wondering about it too.
I would say for me, it's where prayer is so important because we get to align ourselves to God's heart.
Yeah, yeah.
And not. We're receiving from God, but it's not all just about receiving and receiving. It's that alignment. And with that alignment comes purpose.
Yeah. And for me, that's such a meaningful aspect of replenishing because sometimes if I'm exhausted in terms of my spiritual life, I feel a little aimless. I feel a little spiritually grumpy. After a concerted time of prayer and even pouring it out to God, I get a sense of connection with him that accepts me where I am and helps me build trust and reliance. And that fuels my rocket to say, whatever you have, God, whatever you have, just let me be faithful. And I'm kind of ready to go again.
Yeah, I can just say in my experience, it's beautiful to me to see, you know, different individuals in our church and in my life who, you know, their energy capacities in different areas may be different than the person next to them.
Mm-hmm.
Where mm-hmm. maybe you have someone who can really pour out emotionally in support to somebody, and then someone else has a different gift within, you know, their energy. Nevertheless, we need to be filling those buckets back up.
Yes, yes.
But God creates us differently in a lot of different areas when it comes to kind of how we pour out to other people.
Yeah. And because we all have our own unique giftings in the way we do pour out, and that's our purpose. Well, here's an interesting notion to wrestle with. Each of these energy sources, our physical energies, our emotional, mental, spiritual energies, they have capacities. Can we, by what we choose to do, increase capacity? An example, physical. Can I increase my physical capacity for strength, for stamina? Yes, I can. How? Exercise.
Yeah.
But exercise with rest and replenishment and, you know, recovery, they would call it in the physical realm.
Yeah.
And that would involve diet. That would involve sleep. That would involve those things that help nurture the body. So the more I do that, really exert and then really replenish, my capacity can expand. Can the same be said for our emotional bucket? If I exert and replenish well, do I increase my capacity for more emotional outpouring? What do you think?
I think, yeah.
I think you would.
You do.
Yeah. Because I've noticed that you do it not by sitting and thinking about it, by actually doing it. Sometimes you have got to emotionally pour it out there. And it happens in a number of ways. Sometimes in places of giving compassion to people. Sometimes it's listening to someone going through an entirely grieving time and identifying with them in a healthy way. That doesn't mean that you've got to feel the exact same thing, but you're empathizing in a way that identifies, and it costs you emotionally because you care. And afterwards, there are things that it's helpful to do to kind of fill your bucket up. And it might be going and playing with kids. It might be doing something that helps you just get away. It might be going to the workshop and building something or creating a craft.
Yeah.
Because it kind of fills up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're ready to go at it again.
And there's definitely a self-awareness there of knowing
what it is.
What that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now that gets to be very intriguing, because I believe this is good stewardship with God's gift of rest and replenishment. Think about your mental capacities. Think about the things that exact from your mental resources throughout the day. Depending on the job, there's all different types of thinking that happen. And the mind needs to get some rest, replenishment. How does your mind get rest and replenishment? Anything comes to mind for you?
Reading has recently, I've been reading more and more, just because to be able to separate kind of myself out of the world I'm in and think about something new.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something new is really energizing for me.
Yeah. And sometimes just a good old-fashioned mystery novel.
Oh, yeah.
You know, get your mind out there and just go at it where you really enjoy it, or listen to the book on tape. And on certain occasions, it can be replenishing, like for a certain watching a movie.
Yeah.
Or a TV show. I do have a caution there, because it can quickly become unintentional. And it can become passive.
Yeah.
Have you ever sat in front of the TV for too long and you feel beat?
Yep. Thank you, Netflix.
We'll talk later about what show you're binge watching and what show I'm binge watching. Yeah. By the way, during my sabbatical, I did not refuse Netflix. Okay. I indulged a bit. Yeah. I counted that. I have some replenishing I'm going to get on that.
On the next podcast.
Oh, by the way, let me just fess up. So here's my replenishing for that. And it happens on my day off. And for sabbatical, it happened on quite a bit more. I will have lunch, if it's lunch by myself, or maybe breakfast. And then I'll know that if I go on and watch one of the documentary series, which my wife doesn't so much enjoy, so we don't watch it together very often. But I love it.
Yeah.
And it's a treat. So I've got, while I'm eating lunch, an interesting, you know, Planet Earth episode or something like that that I find fascinating.
Those are so good. Yeah.
And they kind of just recharge my mind, get me thinking of new things, and I'm kind of ready to go after that. So we have our physical energy sources, our emotional, our mental energy sources, and then our spiritual energy sources. I want to backtrack a little bit to the things that deplete energy sources, because we can have positive depletion or negative depletion.
Yeah.
Think about emotionally. Have you been in a place where it's easy to put on those, if you would, the kinds of glasses that view the world cup half empty? Kind of your attitude tanks, and it's called negative sentiment override. You just have an instinct to interpret that situation a little bit more negatively.
Say that again. Negative sentiment.
Negative sentiment override.
Yeah, I'm going to start using that in daily language. Man, I'm just in this period of negative sentiment.
Got some negative sentiment override.
NSO, come on.
And they're going to say, oh, get a life. And then you give them some negative sentiment override. But you just jump on them for it, because that's what negative sentiment override does. And the opposite is positive sentiment override.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why that's significant in the capacity of emotions is because that's oftentimes governed by the various degrees of how negative it is to how positive it is. Well, whereas physical energy is how much it's volume, if you would.
Yeah.
Of how much capacity do you have? Well, it's, you know, where are you in that sphere as far as negative and positive? And we need to understand that negative emotions drain us. Now, positive can too, but it's a different kind of draining. It's helpful to be in the church and to recognize that people need filling. There are times when our emotions are rightly so negative. It's certainly in the Bible. It's all over Psalms. And we just don't want to live there.
Yeah.
We've got to express it. It's helpful to have someone else hold it. But then we need to surrender it. And we need to move to a place where it's time to pick up the positive sentiment override and start seeing that we're faith-filled people and we have a future and a hope. And we have people that love us, care for us. And it's time to get up off the couch.
Yeah, what you just said reminds me of Psalm 23, where even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I'd argue that it says walk through the valley of the shadow of death for a reason. Because we're not meant to sit there.
Huh. That makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. But as part of the human experience, we will all walk through it.
Absolutely.
And I am convinced more and more as time goes on that we need the church. We need each other to take those journeys together. And we need to be close enough to each other that we can share our lives in a way that encourage people to get what they need, to be all that they can be, to love the Lord God with all their heart and their soul, their strength and their mind. That encourages us to take those filling ups.
What are some awesome steps that we could take to expand our spiritual bucket or expand our spiritual energy source?
Well, a scripture comes to mind, and it's in Romans. It's Romans 8, probably first little section there. It's going to say you're controlled not by your sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And that's true. The Spirit of God lives in you. So it is a sense of turning over to the Spirit of God.
That's so good. Yeah.
And with that, there are some things that we can intentionally do that turn over to the Spirit of God. I've got some journal stuff here. Okay, here would be some things. And you could even answer, how often do you do this? Are you consistent with this? Is this something you do all the time? Is it a 5 or is it something you never do? Is it a 1 or is something occasional? It's a 3. How would you mark yourself if it was, let me give you a couple of those. I remind myself of God's purpose and his unique calling over my life. How often do you do that? Is that a part of your daily prayers? Interesting. 2, I take time daily for undistracted time with God in word and prayer. Is that a pattern, a practice, a habit? 3, I practice Sabbath rest, worship, and celebration. 4, I have people in my life who speak God's grace to me and show it. 5, I have routines of serving others that help me become less self-absorbed. 6, I enjoy music that lifts my spirit. 7, I have routines of meeting with a prayer partner or a small group. 8, I practice activities like walks in nature or listening to recorded messages that inspire me. 9, I take seasonal retreats to examine my priorities and connect spiritually. 10, I make note of items needing confession, forgiveness, and freedom. If anyone is interested in that list, if they would email us, or email me at roger@kingofkingsomaha. I'd be happy to send you that inventory. And also an inventory for all of those energy sources that will help you do a self-examination on how am I doing to keep positively filled with his replenishment.
And it comes from a place of intentionality, right?
It does. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Roger. Let's we ended the last podcast in prayer, but let's do that.
Let's do it again.
It's just so good. Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing in our lives, where we have these energy buckets, these energy sources, and Lord, you are moving in us to use us for your glory. And Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing in this church and our listeners' lives.
Yes.
And Lord, just align our hearts with yours in everything that we do, and help us have that sense of intentionality to be who you made us to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that prayer in Jesus' name, and I pray that it would happen in my life and in John's life and in the lives of our listeners as our hearts are open to you. Help us be intentional. Help us, Lord, be who you made us to be, as reflecting now new people in Christ, the life that truly does love you with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind and all of our strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Pastor Roger, thank you so much again for being on the podcast. Really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Waves. If you like the podcast, please subscribe, because you won't want to miss out on what we've got coming up on Waves. Also, please leave us a review on iTunes. That helps us out tremendously, and it helps others find the podcast as well. For more information about King of Kings Church, who we are, what we believe, and additional content to feed your walk of faith, you can check us out at kingofkingsomaha.org. This has been Waves. Thank you so much for listening.